Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the second chapter of the book of John. Second chapter of the book of John. If you would, let's stand together as we read from John chapter 2, beginning at verse 13, down through verse 16. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, as you examined that house of worship, Lord, we ponder about our own house of worship and how it stacks up and how it measures to your qualifications. Lord, we pray that your name would be honored and glorified this day. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And we will continue reading from John chapter 2. And we'll begin reading again at verse 16. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, they believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Title of our sermon this morning, First Passover and Purification of the Temple. Now, this was not the first Passover time of Jesus' life, but it was of his ministry. And Warren Wiersbe writes, Jesus, his family, and his disciples remained at Capernaum a few days, and then he went up to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Each Jewish man was required to attend 3 annual feasts at the holy city, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Wiersbe continues, though Jesus deliberately violated the man-made religious traditions of the Pharisees, our Lord obeyed the statutes of the law and was faithful to uphold the law. In his life and death, he fulfilled the law so that today we are not burdened by that yoke of bondage. Acts 15:10. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And the two key words in Romans 6, 23 are these: wages and gift. Wages, that which we receive due to our labor, and gift, that which we receive without working for it. We work through our sinful nature, deserving hell. For all have come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God, and thank God for his unspeakable gift, is something that we receive because he paid the price. We cannot work for our salvation. It is a gift. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The two key thoughts here would be by grace, unmerited favor, and the gift of God, an unearned present. But like any present, we must be willing to accept it. I would like in your mind's eye now to think about the temple there in Jerusalem. Think about the temple's outer court, the Gentile area. Think of the oxen that are there. We do know that the cows, oxen, they make noise. You can imagine what that would be like if we had oxen just right here in our building out in the vestibule. Do you think they'd be quiet for you? No, they'd be lowing and whatever else noise they make. Cows and oxen also, they can be kind of what? Messy? Yeah, stinky? Sure. There would be sheep there, and you can see there in your mind's eye, there at the temple, the oxen and the sheep and the doves. Can you hear the doves cooing? Donna has a bird feeder outside of the kitchen window, and we fill it up, and any number of types of birds will come. And lately, there have been some doves that were out there. And usually, doves come in pairs, and we find that they do their cooing. But also, see the money changers. Would you say that would create a little bit of noise too? Because they didn't have paper money. They didn't use credit cards. They had coins. And so there would be this noise. Now, in your mind's eye, ponder this. It's Passover time. There are hundreds, yea, thousands of men that are wandering in and around the temple at this time. We have all heard of the Jewish holiday Passover. We may not know everything about it, or we ourselves may not follow the tradition, but we've all heard of it. And the Jews were commanded to keep this holiday. Of course, holiday comes from two words of holy day, and they were to keep it for all times. It was to commemorate the Jews being thrust out of the land of Egypt. Moses had commanded the Jewish families to obtain a lamb, an unblemished lamb, saying from the book of Exodus chapter 12, in the 12th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the Lord shall be to you for a token, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And Exodus 12:14 says, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Thus the name Passover. Now, not to get ahead of ourselves, but the Passover lamb is a picture of the one perfect lamb which would die for our redemption. That lamb being our Lord Jesus Christ. When we stand before the judge of the universe on that judgment day, if and only if we are covered by the blood of the one who shed his precious blood, will we be allowed to enter heaven's glory land. Are you covered by the blood of the Lamb? In verses 13 through 17, we find the cleansing of the temple. And beginning at verse 13, where it says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple. Jesus revealed his zeal for God by cleansing the temple. He had a desire that the house of God would be proper. I believe that our house of God, that this building, should be kept proper. We desire that it is kept clean. But we also desire that those who come to worship come with a desire to make sure that they are clean, that they are proper. Dr. David H. Sorensen writes, upon Jesus' arrival at the temple, he found a scene which brought righteous indignation. When Jesus walked into the temple area and into the Gentile court, and when he saw what was going on, it angered him. The priests had established a lucrative business of exchanging foreign money for Jewish currency and also selling the animals needed for the sacrifice. The temple authorities had entered into contracts with Jewish businesses to sell the animals necessary for the prescribed Levitical sacrifices. Aren't you glad you don't have to come to the Covenant Baptist Church bringing your sheep or your oxen or turtle doves? And see, there were Jews that were coming from all over the known world. And they were coming to Jerusalem to sacrifice. Do you think they're going to bring the sacrificial animals with them? Of course not. So once they got there, they would purchase them. And they could not just purchase any oxen or any lamb. It had to be ready for sacrifice without blemish. It had to be in a right condition. Not only that, each Jewish male had to pay a temple tax each year of 1/2 shekel. And upon arriving from different places, these Jewish men often did not carry Hebrew coinage. Therefore, bankers were allowed to set up currency exchange booths in the temple courts. Now, would you say there would be a temptation to charge more for exchanging the coins than was necessary? Absolutely. Maybe you've gone over into Canada and you've wanted to exchange money. Now, I remember, and probably some of you remember, when you could go over there and our money, our dollar was worth $1.25 Canadian. It got to even to a point at one point where it was like $1 for $1.50 Canadian. And you would go over there and you thought, wow, I can buy extra stuff because I have extra money. And you wanted to make sure you went to the right place to get the best exchange rate. Some would give you better exchange than others. And so there were those that were taking advantage of the situation. No doubt this religious market began as a convenience for the Jews who came long distances to worship in the temple. But in due time, the convenience became a business and no longer a ministry. In your mind's eye, ponder this. The scene Jesus had come upon was more like a Middle Eastern bazaar than as a place of worship. And this caused him to desire to clean out the temple. Though no mention of souvenirs or religious artifacts are specifically mentioned, it might be surmised by the word merchandise found in verse 16, and such trade may well have been going on. I read to you from Brother Sorensen's thoughts once again. Not only had the atmosphere become commercial and dishonorable, those with the right to sell were ripping off their unwary customers. Inflated prices were charged for animals needed for sacrifices, and money changers were using exorbitant exchange rates. May I say this? It is not uncommon for the world to want to make money off of believers. Be careful when you go into the so-called Christian bookstores in our area. Some of them, they're not there for your benefit. They're there to make money. And not everything that is for sale over here at the Family Christian Bookstore is Christian. So be careful. Verse 15. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple. Ponder this. See Jesus. He is angered by what he is seeing here. People making money off those who are wanting to come and worship. They are making money off those who are coming with a sincere heart. And he makes us a scourge, taking a number of cords. And I don't know where these cords came from, but he was able to take them and he begins to drive off the cattle and the sheep and those that are controlling them. And he thrusts them out. I ask this question. What would Jesus remove from our church building? But I ask you another question. What would he remove from our houses if Jesus came physically? He knocked at your door and he opened it, or you opened it and you let him in. What would he say? Why do you have that? Do you think he'd say that to some of us? Why is that magazine in your house? Why do you have those videos in your house? Why do you have this or why do you have that? Do you think he'd do that? I think he could. You know, the book of 1 Corinthians says that our bodies are a temple. Did you catch that? Our bodies are a what? A temple. What did he do to that temple in Jerusalem? He drove out that which shouldn't be there. What do you think he would say about our temples? Are there things that we shouldn't have in our lives? That's kind of scary, isn't it? Would you agree that's scary? If you're not agreeing, you're asleep. Okay? We all should be scared because we should all ponder and we should all wonder, wow, what would Jesus say about us? When Adam and Eve partook of the fruit and they heard Jesus in the cool of the day, what did they do? They hid themselves. Sin had entered in. And they hid themselves. There are times that we try to hide things, don't we? You know, the unfortunate thing is, or maybe the fortunate, is that Jesus sees where we try to hide it. He knows what needs to be thrust out. He knows what needs to be cleansed. He knows what needs to be removed. What would our Savior think of many of today's worship practices that emphasize the wrong things, accentuating things of entertainment instead of the Word of God? Is it the house of God to be a place of the Word of God? Note, this cleansing of the temple is not to be confused with the temple cleansing found in the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which occurred in the final week of his earthly ministry when he referred to the merchants as a den of thieves. That was a different cleansing, which tells me we have to make sure that we are regularly cleansing out our spiritual temple, because it can become cluttered again. I am amazed at how many articles we'll find in publications and newspapers that talk about decluttering our lives. Would you say that our lives can become cluttered very quickly? There are so many things that can clutter. Do you ever get amazed at how quickly paper piles up around your house? You know, you get all this really desired mail, right? I think sometimes they call it junk mail. But we know that that keeps the post office in business, okay? And it piles up. And you think, well, I might need this later. And 4 years later, you find it again. Did you really need it? But it seemed so good. Did you ever keep something thinking, if I throw it away, I'm going to need it? You want to know, want to be able to need it again? Throw it away. If you don't throw it away and just leave it there, you'll never need it. It's always a week after you throw it out that you need it. But clutter. How about our spiritual lives? Can they become cluttered with today's society? Absolutely. Be careful what's out there. Be careful that you don't let it in. I don't care how appealing some things are. Some things are not necessary. And we find that he wanted to cleanse the temple. From the book of Psalms 69, verse 6, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. He sees it and he's bothered. Those that were around Jerusalem at past Passovers, they had become, well, it just became part of life. But when he walked in, he saw it thinking, this is wrong. Have you ever asked somebody to come and look at your house and then have them give you an honest opinion about your house? See, we become accustomed to certain things. We may become accustomed to that pile of stuff that's over there. We may become accustomed to that broken piece of furniture over here. We may become accustomed to that picture that has the broken glass in it. And we don't think about it anymore. But someone walking in may think, why don't they get a new piece of glass for that picture? I hope that none of you have one of those at home. Okay, I just threw that out as an illustration. Have you ever wondered why you have certain things from the first year of your marriage? Because your wife won't let you throw them out? Oh, I'm in trouble now, aren't I? But you know, sometimes we allow clutter to build. Not just in our physical homes, but in our spiritual homes. And they need to be cleansed. Question in verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Well, why do you have the right to do this? It could have been the very ones he cast out that asked the questions. It could have been others that had okayed the businesses to come in. Who knows who's saying it, but some of the Jews are saying, why are you doing this? The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, the Jews require a sign. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. He's talking about his physical body. They're thinking about this temple that took 40-some years to build. That's a long time to be in a building process, isn't it? I mean, our church is going to be celebrating 60 years. Can you imagine if we'd been taking 40-some years to build this auditorium? You think, what is going on? What are they doing, driving in one nail a week? And they said, you can't build it up in 3 days. It took 46 years. But Jesus was talking about his body. But a final thought. Warren Wiersbe gives this interesting thought. The tragedy is this, that this business was carried on in the court of the Gentiles in the temple, the place where the Jews should have been meeting the Gentiles and telling them about the one true God. Any Gentile searching for truth would not likely find it among the religious merchants in the temple. I say this, how sad it is that someone could come to the house of God looking for answers only to find man's traditions or formality or entertainment and die in their sins and go to hell. But thank God for churches that proclaim the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness, Paul writes, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. May I say this? It is the duty of the house of God to preach the Word of God. It is our duty to proclaim the Word of God. And don't ever forget that. I know that there are bigger churches. I know that there are churches that use all kinds of different things to try to attract. But it is the very Word of God that must be preached. That men are sinners. That there is a hell to shun. And there is a Savior to save. Shall we stand together? 375, just as I am, we must come to Jesus as we are, proclaiming our need of a Savior. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'd be glad if you did so today. We'd be glad to have someone show you from the Word of God what you must do. And if by chance you feel that there is some clutter in your life that you need to have removed, it wouldn't hurt you to come forward and to pray here at the altar asking God for His assistance. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for someone that is going through a difficult time or is in need of the truth. And you'd like to come and pray and say, Lord, help me be that source of truth. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this invitation time. We pray, Lord, now that we as a body of believers could be worshiping you in spirit and in truth, desiring to honor you. And Lord, as we have this invitation time, we ask that the Spirit would move. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.